Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm your host, Andy Bueller. Dan Dickow is not with us this week. He's been back in Indianapolis covering the NCAA tournament and all the craziness that has ensued. You can find him talking about the NCAA tournament, rerunning deep dives with college coaches, a lot of coaches that are still in the field. That's on his podcast, The ISO, where he's pumping out interviews 5 days a week. But I'm not alone here. Later, I'm joined by Union receiver Tobias Merriweather. He's a top flight recruit nationally, and when it's all said and done, he will probably be the highest touted recruit to ever come out of the Vancouver area. We go a step beyond his recruitment and his play on the field and just kind of what fuels him. So great conversation. That's later on, so stick around. But with me now, SB Live senior reporter, prodigal son of Tacoma. He's nobody's pal. He's Todd Millis. Todd, how we doing?
A little weird, man. I'm used to my third amigo, like stuck on assignment at the NCAA tournament, watching really good basketball. You know, I mean, who's living the good life right now, Andy?
I don't know, man. I didn't leave the comfort of my couch for most of the weekend. Just taking in all the great games. College basketball, I didn't realize how much I missed that tournament. It's been 2 years. It's crazy to imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, you can attest to this, and I would tell any of our listeners, if you ever get a chance to go to an NCAA tournament, it's just a different level of basketball, different atmosphere, as you would suspect. But it's fun watching the intensity rise in a tournament like that. I went to Portland here a few years ago when Gonzaga and the Huskies were playing. And, you know, I've covered a lot of basketball, and it was pretty noticeable, the intensity and energy level, and even just in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, it's cool, too. Like, there was a part of me that was a little bit concerned of, like, is it going to be the same without fans or with limited fans or with just parents or, you know, families of players? And I think the first weekend has proven absolutely it's lived up to, you know, its typical theatrics. So, you know, we still have upsets. I think the players still care. And I'm sure, you know, ratings and viewership are you know, out of this world. So tons of high school connections from the state in this NCAA tournament still. We'll get to that more a little later. But as we record this here, the first wave of football seasons in Washington are coming to a close. These are obviously spring condensed seasons that the fall season was postponed, and we're just getting in. Every league typically around the state is doing something a little bit different, but you and I were at games. We both covered season ending games last week. You were at Tumwater Stellicum. I covered Linden Christian Mount Baker. And I spoke with Linden Christian's coach after the game, and the Lynx had just beat a very good Mount Baker team, a team that I think gets them if they play, you know, a few times. And, you know, he described the mood after the game being you know, believe it or not, this is a home game. It's senior night. It's the last game of the season. It's against this amazing week where they beat Linden, which in this hugely momentous game, a big deal in that area. They turn around and beat a very good Mount Baker team. And he said, you know, the mood's a little melancholy. And that's the word he used. And saying, you know, we can't, we're trying not to go there, but we can't help but think of what could have been of this team, a team that was in the 1A state title game and gave Royal, you know, everything it had last year, gave Royal its best game in a couple years. And it's hard not to sympathize with that. But, you know, let me ask you this, Todd. It's hard to believe we're finishing football seasons because for so long it didn't look promising that the state of Washington would even have seasons. But now that this first wave is coming to a close, did you feel that, you know, it might have been a little anticlimactic?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason for that, it was such an abrupt ending. You know, there is such a suspense when you work your way through the postseason. Is it going to end? Is it going to continue? That wasn't the case this year. I was at Steilacoom Tumwater, and Tumwater played, you know, and let me make this very clear as a sort of a baseline thought is, I don't want to give the impression that these players are not appreciative or indignant in any way. They got a chance to have a season, and they're very, very appreciative of that. And Tumwater got to play, you know, unexpected game at Prosser, got to travel a different part of the state, got to end a season with a class 2A state rematch with Steilacoom, something that wasn't on the schedule when it was originally built. So they got some nice perks through the season, and they put a lot into last week. They treated this non-conference regular season game like it was a 2A state championship game. And I think most people around the state would refer to it as the unofficial 2A state championship. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a state championship. It wasn't at a neutral site, you know, limited crowds. You could kind of tell, melancholy is a good word. It was over, and it was over quickly. And yeah, I mean, the guys were happy that they'd won, but it was just sort of like, okay, what a crazy year. It just didn't happen. It just didn't end the way they were used to. But again, they were very, very excited, appreciative of being able to play. It just the abrupt ending was just sort of like, okay, now I got to move on.
A lot of highs and lows in a high school football season, and especially in the end of a high school football season and a postseason where you don't know when you're going to practice every day of the week if that week is going to be your last. That's what part of what makes the high school football playoffs so compelling and so you know, easy to root for, and there's these stakes, and there just weren't those stakes this year. And I think the point you made of, you know, I'm not saying these players aren't appreciative, like that's absolutely important to say. You know, I don't think that you and I were under any misconception that this season would be a little bit different than other seasons. And, you know, of course, a couple months down the road, we're going to turn around and cover, you know, a normal fall season, I assume. And, you know, these teams that are finishing now are starting to think about spring ball already, which is just, it's pretty wild to think about. But, you know, I think that part is important to say, is like, hey, I kind of wonder if these leagues like the Metro League that have sort of a playoff built into their end of the year schedule, if they're going to be, you know, glad they did that. Something that, you know, of course, the pride of a league championship to most schools around this state would be, I'm sure, enough or a big deal, at least locally. And, you know, one place, for example, that did not feel as anticlimactic, one program whose finish to the season was not anticlimactic, was Hawkinson down in the Vancouver area, who beat Washougal in a back and forth game, a couple lead changes in the second half. And then head coach Rick Steele announces his retirement in a extremely emotional speech on the field. After 16 seasons as head coach, he built that program from scratch. He built it into a 2A power. You probably know the names Cannon Racanelli, Sawyer Racanelli, brothers who won back-to-back AP State Players of the Year, the 2A level, a couple years ago. And, you know, Hawkinson finishes a season where they have a totally different team, a totally different makeup. They're not throwing the ball all over the place, and they're winning games with defense. They're winning games with grit. Every game is, you know, back and forth, low scoring, and it's a little bit of their return to roots, so to say, and their head coach, who, you know, means a great deal to that community down there and the football community in Southwest Washington, announces his retirement. So that's a season and a stage that I think might have been really fitting for that moment. To be able to do that after that, you know, reaching that precipice of on the field after you win your seventh straight league title, I think ninth or 10th overall. It was a big deal.
Well, yeah, you mentioned 2A powerhouses. We're watching one right now with the green and gold and Tumwater, but you're right. The last one belonged to Hawkinson, and you mentioned some of the key figures in that, the Racanelli brothers. It's been interesting to see how Rick had gotten over that hump, and the Racanellis were a big reason in that. But, you know, starting to win league championships and then having to find a way to get past the EVCO teams in the crossover playoff. And then once they did that, they just sort of took off. I mean, their passing attack reminded me a lot of Linden when they were in their heyday, when they won 5 state championships in 6 years with actually Brady Bomber, who was the quarterback
out Brady Bomber.
Amen, brother. At the tail end of that. So yeah, definitely one of the most dominant 2A stretches I can remember. And great, as we both know, great guy. He would give you a shirt off your back, his back for you. And what a way to go out with another league championship with his guys. Not shocking. It was an emotional speech. And it'll be interesting to see what direction they go in hiring somebody. I have somebody in mind, and if that happens, you know, I think that program will be in pretty good hands.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that we expect, offensive coordinator Josh Racanelli to get that job. I think it would be a surprise if he didn't. He's the architect of that offense. He was hired after Steele stepped down for a season and then came back, and he was, you know, a big part of you know, fueling that run with his two sons, Cannon and Sawyer, and even after they left, I think their most impressive run, honestly, was last year in 2019 when they had Levi Crum, who of course is Racanelli's nephew, and he was kind of way in the wings behind Cannon a little bit, and really willed that team to a good playoff finish. So, shout out to Coach Rick Steele and that Hawkinson community. I know that's a big deal. I wrote about it on Friday, just about some of the context of how much he means to that community. I'll link that in the show notes. It's on the site. But Todd, I wanted to bring up before we go to our interview with Tobias Merriweather, you had a story that we talked about off mic that kind of speaks to this anticlimactic theme of this season. And a couple weeks ago, toward the beginning of the season, we posed the question of whether or not we would be in favor of like a AP state champion or a mythical state champion where teams weren't playing crossover games and the state playoffs before they existed, the media would crown a champion and just kind of the fallout of that and what that was like to be a part of that title hunt, not all too dissimilar from a season like this.
Yeah. That's the way they decided state champions in Washington from the 40s, all the way through the, advent of the state playoff format. You sit out, and it's going to be the 50-year anniversary of Sid Otten talking about Tumwater. When he was the Colfax football coach, 1971, he had a really good football team. And, you know, like I said, a different climax, you know, with this voting. It was, you know, what was the team ahead of me doing? If you were a state contender, you knew exactly where you stood on a week-to-week basis because that poll was released on a weekly basis. So heading into the final week with that very, very good team, very physical football team in Colfax in Sid's second year, they played Connell. And as Sid recalls, it's, you know, there's flatbed trucks bringing stands and the whole community of Colfax. And that's, we can see that today. That community at Colfax loves its football. But that night they're playing at Connell in the regular season finale. They're at number two in the state. They go to play Connell. They take care of business pretty early. On the way back, Sid remembers, you know, on the bus, they stop at a phone booth. Do we all on the podcast know what a phone booth is? Call somebody to figure out.
Wait, you know, hold on. You don't think I know what a phone booth is?
Do you? Have you ever made a call in a phone booth?
That's a good question.
So Sid, on the way back to Colfax, they stop in Washtuckna, which is, I don't know, 70 miles outside town. And he gets off the bus and he places a call to somebody on the west side to figure out, hey, what's number one Raymond done tonight in their final game? And he gets the news. Raymond's been upset on the final day of the regular season. You know, he gets back on the bus. His players are waiting for him, anticipating the news. And he basically says, hey, guys, we're state champions. Raymond lost tonight. And you can imagine what that bus ride was like for that final hour and a half back to Colfax. And I'm sure that the night didn't end there. It was probably a pretty happy bunch. But that's how Sid Otten, the all-time winningest coach in Washington history, won his first state championship and how he broke the news. I mean, so it was a different kind of climax there. Something that you know, this group here in the spring season of 2021 didn't have. So, you know, again, I think it would be fair to characterize it. Yeah, I think the end of this season, especially for some of these state contenders, was a bit anticlimactic.
Well, we'll be covering the ends of more seasons to come as the football season bears on in the rest of the state. Of course, some leagues and some areas like the Kinko are just kind of getting going in these first couple weeks. And so we've got plenty of more football to cover. And, you know, one of those players that is wrapping up a season soon is Union's Tobias Merriweather. He's a standout receiver. He's, like I said at the top, probably going to be the highest touted recruit to ever come out of the Vancouver area. And he joins us next. So we're going to take a quick break, leave it here. When we come back, I sit down with Tobias. I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on.
Welcome back. Andy Bueller here, and I'm not alone. With me, Tobias Merriweather, Union wideout defensive back. He's a highly touted recruit out west and across the nation. And to those listening in Washington, I don't think he needs much more introduction. Tobias, how you doing, man? Doing well, yeah. Thanks for joining me in this condensed season you guys are playing in. You're in a stretch right now where just to fit as many games as possible into, you know, a 6-7 week season, you're playing 3 games in the span of 10 days. Right now you're preparing for that. How do you feel about getting all these games in?
I mean, under the circumstances we are in, like, they just had a certain amount of time and we want to get as many games as we can for our seniors. And that's, I mean, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. So right now, as we record this, like, this record will change by the time it comes out. But you guys sit here at 2-1. It's a shortened season. You got a great opening win at defending state champ Camas to open the season that I'm sure you guys will not forget anytime soon. And then you turn around and blow out Mountain View, which doesn't really happen very often. And then Skyview nips you guys by 3 last week, and lots of rivalry games in a season where there's no playoffs, no state championships or anything like that. Does this season feel any different for you? And do you still feel the stakes of playing this localized schedule?
I mean, it's kind of different without like a playoff, like nothing, like only thing really for stake was a league title, but I mean, hopefully we can still get a chance for that if Camus beats Skyview. But I mean, we usually start off strong. Like usually during the season, we'll start off with our like non-conference, but they'll be good teams. So we're used to starting off with good teams, and I mean, we just had to take care of business.
I want to go back to the Skyview game. I wasn't there, but I saw just rewatching the game. You had a heck of a play, a 88-yard kick return. I think it was it in the third quarter? Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to watch. I mean, you know, it's kicked you. I think you caught it at the 12. You broke off, almost broke off one against Mountain View too. That opening play of the game, you were probably one or two missed tackles away from doing that. But do you remember the first time you ever made a house call?
I haven't took back a kick since my freshman year when I was playing freshman JV ball, like week one and two. That's the last time I remember taking back a kick. And I was just, I've always been close. Like every year, every game, I like, there's always that one that I'm like, I could have took it. And then I'll watch film and I'll be like, next time I have to do that. And then, I mean, it's been coming up to this spot. They always say this one's the one. Every time my coaches are telling me, I'm like, it's the one. And then came out in a big time. And I mean, we couldn't finish off the game, but it was a big play at a big time.
So I want to read you a quote. I talked to Skyview coach Steve Kaiser on the day after you guys played them. And I asked him about the kick return and among other things. And here's what he said. He said, he's explosive. He's as good a player in our league as we've had, maybe ever. He's got speed, size. He's strong. He runs good routes and obviously can return a kick pretty well, too. I recommend if you play Union, you don't do that. And by do that, he means kick the ball to you. When teams are trying like heck not to kick to you, like, can you tell? And is there a way to circumnavigate that?
Well, me and the other return that we have, I'm always on the right usually, because we usually set up right return or maybe sometimes middle, but I'm usually on the right. So I could, at the beginning of the game, they kept kicking to the left every time. And then our coaches like switch it one time, but we went like right before they saw it. So he might not have saw me. I don't know if he meant to kick it or me or not, but we always try to figure out a way to get our best players the ball. And we just got lucky that time.
For the record, they said they did not mean to kick to you.
But, I doubt. I mean, I want to kick it to me.
Hey, there you go. This season has been interesting for you. Through three games, I'm just going to read out your stats so far. So the first week, you had three catches for, I think, about 18 yards. And Camus, you know, really spent like the bulk of their defensive strategy to just like take you out of the game. And I'd say did so, you know, fairly effectively. And the second week, you had seven catches, 82 yards, third week, and two touchdowns in that second game. And then the third week in this game we were just talking about against Skyview, five catches, 105 yards, a couple touchdowns, including that 88-yard kick return. Now, what I'm seeing there is a learning curve. Has each defense thrown something at you that you hadn't seen before? And what's it been like kind of adjusting back to the speed of tackle football after so long of a wait?
I think that just like the first week, we were just okay with, I mean, I was just okay with not touching the ball. Like I had those three catches and they're all first downs and that's what we needed at the time. I mean, I'm okay with it as long as you come out with a win, to be honest, like, especially when they're doing so much to try and stop me. I mean, why not just take advantage of the space that's on the field? And then, week two, I mean, they just run like basically a normal cover three, which is kind of surprising to me because I was like, dang, we really take advantage of this. So, which we did, obviously. And then, I mean, they're just trying to play straight up. And that's a mistake to me, honestly.
So, in 2018, I want to go back because you were a freshman that year. I covered that Union State title run pretty closely. I was at the Columbian. And it was the first state championship in program history, an undefeated 14-0 season. And that didn't come easy. There were some of the most back and forth, you know, great down to the wire high school football games I've maybe ever seen in the same season. And you guys somehow found a way to come out on top. And a lot of that was thanks to, you know, it's obviously a really talented team, but to have a guy like Lincoln Victor as the captain, you know, he played as much a part in that as anyone. And yet the excellence that stood out to me about that team top down, you know, came from guys like Lincoln, and you were a freshman on that team. You got to be a part of that and to see that every day. What was that like, you know, having that be your first, you know, up close and personal experience of high school football, be a team like that?
Well, I mean, Obviously, when I was younger, like middle school and stuff, I always watched the Union football team and Lincoln coming up through the ranks, you know, and all those guys like Doc when he started at Mountain View and JoJo and all those guys. So, I mean, it was just like when I was a freshman, I wasn't really expecting to play varsity or anything. I was just going out there doing what I do. And then to get brought up and just seeing those guys, like, you know, a lot of those games that come down to the wire, and it was our coaches just preaching adversity to us and preaching like, no matter what happens, we can get through this and we can get over the hump. So, I mean, just seeing those guys and just looking up to those guys as role models has just been a great experience for me. And I can say the same for probably most of the guys on my team, just been a blessing.
Does that make a difference to see excellence like that and see that up close and personal, just in the way that it's informed you and you go about things in the years that have followed?
Yeah, I think that those guys also talk to us like in our group chats and stuff. They're still always telling us, you know, good luck, giving us little speeches and stuff through like whatever FaceTime or whatever it is. So just like they set the standard for us and we're all just every day trying to live up to it. So we're trying to get back to where we were 2018.
So I'm of the mind that folks don't give Southwest Washington enough credit for its high school football. Obviously, you know, you have state powerhouse leagues like the 4A Kinko, and you can't argue with the results. And you got the 4A SPSL, and you know, you could kind of go down the list. But, you know, when you guys faced off against Camas to start the season, it's like, holy cow, these are the last two state champions at the 4A level in the same league facing off to kick off the season. And in recent years, you know, I think you can't argue that the 4A Greater St. Helens League has been the best, the most competitive league in the state. What's that like playing in it these last couple years, just week by week?
I think it's just like, honestly, just a blessing to be in a great league because, I mean, you're every week you're going against an opponent that could either knock you out and that's a league title gone, or even that team that can get you ready for state. Like, you know, we play against Camas every year and that's like probably the best moment we can get. So it's like, I mean, it's just great for us. I feel bad for people that don't have the opportunity to do that. And it's too late for them in the playoff when they actually play a team like that.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, that's speaks to it. And especially, you know, to that point, like I look at a team like you guys last year, you obviously replaced so much from that 2018 team and it was a little bit of an up and down season. And then you get into the playoffs and you guys face a Lake Stevens team that I don't think had lost at that point in the first round. And you guys gave them a great game. You know, I have to imagine that doesn't happen if you're not only playing a league schedule like that, but then you're filling your non-league with Chihuahuas and teams like that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like last year, you know, our record doesn't really, to me, explain our season because, I mean, a lot of those games, like we played Puyallup, a good Puyallup team, which we lost by 1 point, you know, last play of the game. We almost went into overtime with them. So, I mean, play the Chihuahua team, we beat them. And, I mean, we lost to Camas and we lost to other few good teams like Eastlake and stuff, but I mean, we all play those teams pretty good. And I mean, people might see the losses as whatever, but we see them as learning experience. Like it doesn't matter until you get to the playoffs. And I mean, obviously against Lake Stevens didn't go our way, but we were in there until the last buzzer.
I got to imagine you'd rather be playing that loaded schedule than not.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people can go, 14, 15, no, and play scrubs, but our year that we won state, we were playing the best teams in the state every week. So, I mean, you can say what you want, but honestly, it's better to play a bunch of good teams and get a bunch of good football teams. And then, I mean, I don't, it's always like a lot of states that don't have like a lot of good comp or teams that don't look top. And you see like the guys posting their film, but like, who are you playing against? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. And you know, that's where the real ones kind of know and be looking up and down your schedule. It bears out, but let's walk through kind of your jump from last year to this year. You know, you're about the same height. If is that right? I mean, you're, you know, around 6'4", 6'5"? Oh, okay. Okay. But you packed on some muscle noticeably. What was that process like? How did you start to kind of retool your body and still maintain that speed?
I think that, well, I train at a place called New Athlete. So it's not a lot of like compos or like weightlifting. It's mostly like dynamic movement with like maybe carrying weight or something like that. So it's about like, I mean, for me, I didn't plan to pack on like 10, 15, 20 pounds. I just wanted to get faster and be able to move better. So, but it was just obviously added because as my body matures and I get stronger and better to be able to better move, I'm going to gain weight. So, I mean, just being blessed with the opportunity to work out there with those guys that know, they play, I mean, they train a lot of guys that get to the next level and they know what it takes. So, I mean, just along with that, along with just knowing that what I have to do, like, I don't need to necessarily gain weight. I just need to be better at breaking tackles, getting off press coverage or whatever it is, just being faster and whatever, just knowing what I have to do to get there and just working.
You grew up in a track family. Anyone who knows anything about you knows that. And your sisters, your older twin sisters combined for six state track titles at Union. I think they still hold the all-time state meet record in the 1600 relay. Is that right? And your dad's Union sprints coach. You're obviously a great sprinter as well. And your dad was a great athlete in high school. Your mom was a track athlete. When did you know that football would be the sport that might actually take you the farthest?
I think that might still be a debate if you ask my dad, but
really,
probably my freshman year or before the eighth grade year or something, somewhere in middle school, he's like, you realize that you can really run track and do whatever you want with track. I'm like, yeah, but I love football. And then it's always been like, since ever I touched a football, I mean, it's just been what I want to do. And so, I mean, I'm grateful to have someone that wanted me to do what I want to do instead of trying to push what he loves, which is tracking, but he loves all sports. So, I mean, it really wasn't that big of a deal for him, but I mean, it is what it is.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, you still run, you're still a sprinter. And is that something that, like, right now you're in a position and even more so each day that passes, that you've got every Pac-12 school is offered, more and more national powerhouses are calling. And, as you go on in this recruiting process, do you have any interest in also running track in college? And is that something that, you know, if a school did that, would kind of sweeten the deal a little bit?
I don't think I want to run track in college just because, I mean, it's a different beast than football, you know, just like the workouts are demanding and, just the workouts are just demanding and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't think I really want to, but I mean, it'd be pretty cool to rub my sister's face or something like that.
just to rub it in your sister's face. Well, I look at a program like Oregon who's offered you and you know, some of those great Oregon athletes like Kenyon Barner, DeAnthony Thomas, those guys, I think Michael James ran track too. And I don't know that was something that they set out to do, but is that something that, you know, is the door always kind of cracked open to run?
Yeah. I mean, there'll always be that love for track and just, like track is just like football is just like there's a team of people that like and you're just working all the time, but track is kind of a little more like laid back. Like you do your work, but then like at the meets and stuff, like after you're done, you can kind of like lay back and just like there's more like just like regular talking, just like regular friendships and more friendships. So I mean, it'd always be, you know, something that I'd be open to do, but not something I'd seek probably.
Let's talk recruiting real quick. As we record this, Brandon Huffman of 24/7 Sports just put out a story on how you're not in a huge rush to make a decision. You've, like I said, got all the Pac-12 schools calling and likely more to come around the country. You're, I think, as we say this, the most highly touted recruit to come out of the state of Washington. We hear this debate every time a high-level recruit comes up in the state of, you know, are they going to stay in state? Are they going to stay in the region? Are they going to, you know, leave and make their and represent the state on a bigger level? And there's this school of thought that I personally don't understand, that, you know, there's some sort of loyalty that's owed to the schools in your state. Do you feel that? What's your approach on, you know, as you look and as you start to consider schools in the state of Washington and even in the Northwest?
I think that it's better to, I don't think I owe anybody anything at this point. Like I grew up in Washington, but that doesn't mean I owe anything to Wazoo or UW to go there or that has any more effect on me going there. Like I just want to go to a place that's best for me. So whether that's here 3 hours away or 6 hours away or over in Oregon, whether that's across the country where my family's not there or something like that. I mean, I just want to go the best place for me to where I can get to where I want to go in my future.
How important is taking official visits going to be in your process?
Hopefully we get to that point where the dead period's over and we can take those, but they'll definitely be important to me, especially because I've been cut short of so many of the unofficials. So, I mean, those officials will definitely be important.
Yeah. Schools, I mean, have you been able to make up for them? And if schools tried to kind of make up for them in different ways?
Yeah, they get like virtual visits, but I mean, it's just not the same as going somewhere and seeing it all firsthand. Like they can, I mean, they can talk to you all you want, but until you see it happening, like go see a practice, go see a game. I mean, it's hard to really like know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. To get a feel for it and see it yourself instead of hear it from somebody else. So. You going to run track this year?
I think I'm going to run track this year. Definitely. Yeah.
Do you want to finish out running for your dad, your junior and senior year?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been one of my big factors of people asking if I'm going to leave early next year, especially because this year got cut short. I mean, I'd love to get out there and run some track and maybe get some medals. You know, it's all about rubbing stuff in my sister's faces at this point.
Man, I haven't brought it up once. You keep bringing it up.
I have to bring it up because, I mean, obviously, I mean, I looked up to them my whole life. You know, it's been like, I was there in the stands rooting for them when they're earning their medals, breaking all those records. So, I mean, like, just to get back there for me to do the same thing would be just like just a different type of feeling.
What's the dynamic like between you guys? Is it pretty competitive? And I mean, they're 2-on-1. So they got the numbers advantage.
I mean, when I was younger, they're always stronger than me. They're always bullying me or whatever. But I mean, I hit that, that 12, 13 year old and they couldn't really mess with me anymore. So it's always been fun since then. But I remember I used to get a bunch of fights, like, you know, it's always racing somewhere to the car or in the store or whatever. It just always been like, it's been good growing up in that, because that's built the competitiveness in me to want to be better than everybody else that I face. So I mean, it's been good.
That's not any, like, no races between you guys is anything I want to ever be a part of, but just to make that clear, that's
I still don't understand how people think they're so faster than me, but I think I need to settle it once they come back home.
I was asking, we had Luke Holcomb, Puyallup's quarterback, on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and his two older brothers were great quarterbacks at Puyallup, as you know. And I was asking them, like, he's like the biggest out of his siblings now, and he's the youngest. And was there, like, were they in college and came back when you had a growth spurt? Like, did they leave and you're this, you know, you're their the little baby brother, and then you come back and you're 6'5"?
Not really, because I mean, sixth grade, I was like 6'1". So my growth spurt was kind of like pretty early, but I mean, they always come back and like, they're like, you're getting a little muscle on you or a little mustache, whatever it is. And I'm like, yeah, come on, let's race. they're always like making excuses or injured or something. But I think one of these days I come back, we need to get on video, just settle it.
Does it ever happen? Do you guys ever race just between the
three? We haven't raced in a long time, but it's definitely coming soon.
Yeah. Have they always beat you? I mean, growing up, were they always?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Quite embarrassing.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen.
Yeah, they beat me a lot, so I think I need to settle it. And I don't think they'll beat me. When I beat them, they won't beat me again. So I think they'll just be done with it.
The last time I ever played 1-on-1 basketball with my dad, I was in high school, and he somehow beat me, and I've got about, you know, 4 or 5 inches on him, and he that was the last day. It was Thanksgiving. I'll never forget it. And he hit the game winning shot on me, and he just walked back into the house. And that was the last time he ever played me. And I got to imagine that, you know, with you, the onus is on you to try to get this thing to happen. Cause your sisters, you can't let that happen.
They can't retire just yet.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. Well, hey, I wish you the best of luck in the rest of your season and just making the most of this shortened season.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Next up, you got Evergreen on Saturday, Union versus Evergreen. So wish you the best of luck. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. It's time for our new segment, week 3 of this thing. It's called Past and Present. There are so many high school athletes across the state from the past and the current day doing great things on a weekly basis in the athletic world. Although, you know, the confines of this segment permeate that, so you can dip beyond that if you so choose. But the idea here is that both of us will share a current high school athlete in Washington that impressed us over the last week, and then one from the past. So, Todd, you want to go first? You want to do the honors?
Yeah, I'm going to actually bring up two athletes who actually probably qualify as both just right now in their standing. One is an out-of-state high school senior who played girls basketball in the state of Washington. That's Haley Heward. She and her sister Macy transferred to Valor Christian in Colorado after their father, former NFL quarterback Brock Heward, got a job in Colorado. So they transferred their, it's Haley's senior year, and she won a state championship last week in girls basketball. She's a Montana signee. This is also a young lady that won a state championship as a sophomore at Eastlake High School, had a great state tournament when the Wolves made their run to a 4A title back a couple years ago. So funny. It's funny. We're going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on what Sam Heward does this weekend at Kennedy Catholic as he goes for the state all-time passing record. But when it comes to state championships in this family, nobody will have bragging rights over Haley Heward. She's got two of them. My other athlete who kind of qualifies as both is a former Chihuahua star, Talia Von Uhlhoften. She played in her first NCAA tournament game, came off the bench, hit a three, helped lead the Beavers past Florida State in the first round. They play this week again in the round of 32. What a story for her to leave early, enroll at Oregon State, and become an impact player this quickly. Kind of fills a role that they didn't have, a ball handler off the bench who could score. And Scott Ruick, the coach at Oregon State, is the first one to admit that's been as big a spark as any getting this thing turned around and headed back toward the NCAA tournament. So shout out, props to Talia. It's obvious that she made the right decision in ending her high school career early and enrolling at Oregon State.
It's just amazing that you could go from, you know, a couple months before the winter break and think that you're going to be staying your entire year and finishing out your senior season to, hey, 2 months later, I'm playing on a top 25 women's basketball team. And, oh, hey, I'm getting minutes and I'm a part of really turning the tables on that season for Oregon State after a bumpy start. So great choices for you, past and present. For me, for present, let's start there. I'm going to go with two guys, but they're connected. The first one would be Braden Smith, Seattle Prep. He's a do-it-all slot receiver, DB, and he came into that program as a quarterback as a freshman. But Seattle Prep has a very talented signal caller in Jake Sipe, who's headed to the Colorado School of the Mines. And I think throughout his their high school experience, Sipe being a year older than Smith, he kind of took the mantle as their quarterback. And Smith has really excelled in a lot of different roles as a return specialist, and he can pretty much do it all. I mean, he's proven that, and he's a heck of a basketball player too, if you ever get a chance to watch him. But Braden Smith came in at quarterback after Jake Sipe had a bruised Achilles that forced him to sit against O'Day last week. And Braden Smith comes in, starts at quarterback. Wasn't perfect, but you know, quarterback to the Seattle Prep Panthers to the first win against O'Day since 1980 with a two-point conversion as time expires. Led a 50-yard drive in a minute. Great turnaround for Seattle Prep. And the other guy I'm going to shout out is Seattle Prep running back Elijah Vaoli Buchanan, who punched in that 3-yard pitch for the touchdown and 2-point conversion. Really gutsy play call by Aaron Mall at Seattle Prep, and a huge momentous win for that program. So those two are my present. Todd, you're shaking your head. What's going on?
No, it's crazy. No, I mean, you think about that. 1980.
Yeah.
The last time Seattle Prep beat O'Day. And to go 50 yards in a minute against that defense is, I mean, that's almost a heroic achievement. As good as that defensive line is, as good as that defense is. And it wasn't a high-scoring game, so it wasn't like the Seattle Prep's offense hadn't been stopped the majority of the night. But you're right. I mean, when it counted, that crew found a way to get in the end zone and win a football game that I'm sure they'll remember for a long, 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 long time.
Well, those grinded out games usually, you know, tip to favor of O'Day that likes to play, you know, and control the game at the line of scrimmage. And kudos to that the trenches in Seattle Prep. I mean, for hanging with a really, really solid O'Day front on both sides of the ball. And, of course, you can read about that game on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, or on the SB Life Sports app, of course. But O'Day's defensive back, Logan Johnson, picked off Braden Smith with like 3:36 left. And the defense turned to Maul and said, hey, don't worry. You guys are going to get another shot at this thing. 3:36 left in the game. And sure enough, They force O'Day to punt, which set up the winning drive with 1:08 left. And just getting the ball 50 yards with that short amount of time, Maul said, hey, look, he said this all along, our skill kids are as good as any group of this skill kids in the state. And, you know, this program is built on the back of our players. And so big win for Seattle Prep. Read more about that and that final 2-point conversion. You can see the video is up on the site. For the past, I'm gonna fudge the rules a little bit and step out of I guess I'm not fudging the rules, but my past athlete is a former standout in this state who should, under normal circumstances, be just finishing up his senior season, but decided to leave the state, and that's a guy who's at Wasatch Academy now. His name's Nolan Hickman. He's a 4-star point guard headed to Kentucky, the first to do that on the boys' side here in the state of Washington. And got a chance to talk to Nolan about his decision to leave the state and jump to an opportunity at Wasatch Academy, which is a small boarding school in the middle of small town central Utah. A little bit of fish out of water situation for Nolan going to that program, but he found a coach in Paul Peterson that's really pushed him. Hickman describes this grueling senior season that's had to push him to the brink, you know, both physically, mentally, and has prepared him, he's felt, for his freshman year stepping into a Kentucky team that missed the NCAA tournament this year. Nolan's stepping into a situation in Kentucky where, you know, little feet under the fire. You can't miss too many NCAA tournaments out there, and it doesn't really happen very often. So a little shameless self-promotion of that story. I'll link it in the show notes. But Wasatch Academy plays on April 1st in the Geico Nationals. They're in a 6-team field, and they'll get to compete for an unofficial national title. So Nolan Hickman, little Nolan Hickman, repping Eastside Catholic and Seattle on the national stage. Those are my two picks. And Todd, I think we've got ourselves a podcast.
Yeah, it's an exciting stretch here. As I mentioned, Sam Heuer going for the state all-time passing record this weekend. I know Scorebook Live or SB Live Washington will be all over that. And then it'll be interesting next few weeks as we transition out of football and into some of the spring sports stuff that we'll obviously bring in. And then, hey man, we're going to have basketball and wrestling. Isn't that great news? We talked about that on the podcast here, you know, over the last couple of weeks. You know, it's talk about up and down, peaks and valleys. I'm sure the coaches and athletes of those two sports have probably gone through some pretty crazy highs and lows before the news hit that we're in phase three and those two sports can come back. So looking forward to seeing some basketball and wrestling here in, you know, 8 weeks.
Let me first say, too, shout out to all the spring sports athletes that are either gearing up to start their season or are starting their season right now. Of course, had their seasons last year taken away from them by the pandemic in those early days. And it's just great to see some of those sports start to take the field again. They, of all people, deserve it.
Absolutely. No question.
All right. More from us this week. Stay tuned in this podcast feed. But for now, for SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, I'm Andy Bueller. He's Todd Millis. We will catch you on the flip side. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.